Business Radio 2000.
Welcome to the second and final hour of Talk on 2000. My name is Khumotso KG Mweketsi. I'm sitting in on the show for the week. And remember, always our studio numbers 089-110-2000. Our SMS number 35026. That would be charged at R50. We're on the page, on the social pages, Facebook, Radio 2000, Twitter at Radio 2000ZA. So it's time for Property Matters. And in our Property Matters feature this evening, we're looking at how agents determine the amount of a deposit paid by a tenant for a property they will be renting. We'll also look at what the deposit is used for, as well as when it should be refunded when a tenant vacates the property. Dineo Molomo of Dineo Properties joins us on the line about this. Dineo, good evening. So how do agents determine the deposit amount for a property?
KG, good evening. Hi. It's one topic that, you know, can never be concluded just with basic answers, simply because the understanding that consumers have or tenants have over deposits that are required by estate agents are so, you know, are still as confusing as the time that the Act was actually established in 1976. But to put it basic, usually they're asking for deposits simply so that they can secure, first and foremost, if somebody has not been able to pay their rent. Mm. And second to that, they also determine whether you are putting down some sort of security. For others, it is also a level of security that's put down simply because maybe your credit scoring does not look that great. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people actually don't know that actually you can get a second chance as far as being able to secure a place for rental simply because you've been requested maybe to pay 2 months or even 3 months rent. Mm. Other places, interestingly, you'll find that they are furnished, and therefore the landlord has required that there's some security to the furniture within that property that is going to be rented. I hope that makes sense to start us off.
Ooh, I'm confused, but it's fine. We'll figure it out as we go on. What then is the deposit, decisively used for?
Look, as I said, for furnished houses that are rented, it's used to secure some of the property that, or at least some of the furniture that's within that property. So, say as an example, you know, there's quite a number of things that are, costing quite a certain price, mm. and it means you won't have the opportunity at any given stage to just get up one day and decide that you're going to steal or take some of the things that are within, mm. simply because you've left some amount of money that belongs to you behind, mm-hmm. As a deposit. But for others, deposit is used or is defined as security. Mm. Security so that, you know, you feel it in your pocket should anything go wrong, such yeah. as you decide not to pay your rent or you go AWOL, nobody can find you. It's very rare that you come across anybody that wants to just leave behind money mm. And not want to actually claim it back.
Yeah. So what should I as a tenant do before I even pay the deposit to the agent? Or what should I know before I pay that deposit?
The most important rule that I feel people are not taking notice of is mm. that deposit, first and foremost, when it's taken by the agent, it doesn't just sit anywhere or in any kind of a bank account. It usually will sit in the trust account of that estate agency company. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, that trust account is audited on an annual basis, as well as that auditing information will be submitted to the regulator of the Estate Agency Affairs Board. Mm. What that means is that's also reason for them to give you your license again for the following year, simply because you've managed that kind of money, you know, in an acceptable manner and in a suitable manner. That means you are to be trusted, you know, to put it simply. So a lot of people don't know mm. where that deposit actually sits.
Yeah.
And second and most important, that deposit usually will accrue interest. So imagine you're not the only person that's going to be renting from that estate agency. Mm. Picture the most popular or top three popular estate agencies, Temp Golding, receive REMAX, how many hundreds of rental tenants they have in their books, and perhaps the fact that there could be so much money that could be sitting in that trust for whatever franchise is doing the rental. So it needs to come back to you, the tenant, with some interest.
Yeah.
And a lot of people actually never ask that question or even take note of it on the contract.
Yeah. By the way, it's 11 minutes past 8 in case you just joined us. And it's Talk on 2000. And we're talking property with Dineo Molomo of Dineo Properties. And we're going to open the lines for you if you have any questions regarding this topic or any other property-related query, because this is our Property Matters feature. And the number to dial if you have a question for Dineo is 089-110-2000. How important, Dineo, is inspection prior to me occupying the property?
It's very important, simply because whatever it is you find that is not up to standard or correct with the property itself, you need to bring it to the attention of one, the landlord, or the agent that's actually serving purpose for the landlord. And if you don't bring it to their attention, you could find that at the end of your term of that lease, perhaps they could even say that you were the reason why whatever that issue or problem was, it was because of your own doing. Let's say there's a broken door or a broken window or handles are not correct, whatever it could be, or even five broken tiles, you know, where you find very expensive tiles, they could come to accuse you you know, for those errors. So it's important that that list is done. You'll find that in many instances, you know, it will vary as to how long a time do you have until you can give feedback to say, these are the snag, this is the snag list, in terms of things that are not correct within this property. Others will give you 7 days, others will give you 2 weeks, others will give you 30 days. I do prefer 30 days simply because you get settled and you sit and you find certain things, you know, as you are getting used to the place and making use of certain things within this property, and therefore it makes compiling of that list a little bit better.
So there's no standard amount of time. It varies according from one agency to the next. Why does that vary? Why is it that sometimes you could have 7 days to, you know, assess the property, sometimes a month, sometimes a week? Why is that?
I don't know. I really can't say why. You know, it varies with the number of people. I guess people, you find other agents or landlords, they want the tenants to settle in as soon as possible, and they want to be done with it. Others are quite meticulous in terms of detail, and you find that they'll give you more than one opportunity. Let's say within the first month that you are there, to, you know, to pick up if there's any things that you're not happy with. And remember, even when you're looking for a snag list, you're not going to use every plug or check every plug. You may not even discover some plug, you know, within this property. As you go along, you may not have, you know, made use of a certain cupboard, but as time goes, you get to open that cupboard and you see that it's actually not working. You know, you should be able to announce or put in writing those things that you are not happy with or are not correct. Just so that when you do leave that property, your deposit once more will still be intact and nothing will need to be replaced, because it's the deposit money that will be used to replace perhaps tiles or broken windows, whatever the case could be.
So in the instance where the tenant vacates the property after the contract has ended and the agent is happy that nothing was damaged and that the property is in a good condition, how many months or how long does it take for the tenant to be refunded their deposit? It sounds rare to me, because I've rented some properties in my life, and most of the time, if you've given 10 rand, you get 2 rand back.
Absolutely. It happens more often than I've ever come across people getting their full deposits back. I must be honest, over the years of me observing estate agents, and some, I'm not saying the thousands, the 35,000 that's out there of estate agents, but just a few, you know, it's rare that I ever come across anybody that says, I got my deposit back in full with the interest, you know, and I got it back within a short space of time. Remember, on that lease agreement, when you sign it first and foremost, those are the kind of things that you need to take note of, especially when you've had the experience more than once, more than twice, that you've signed a lease agreement. You should be able to ask those important questions and say, look, yes, you've got my deposit. What will it take for me to make sure that I get my full deposit back? I've advised people in the past where I get to say, look, allow for the landlord or the agent to come through and inspect the house every 3 months, every 6 months, if that's what you want, knowing that perhaps you're only going to be there, let's say, for a year. Allow for the landlord perhaps to even give you somebody to clean your house that is familiar with the house and can keep it in the same way that you found it, if not in a similar manner. But you should be able to get it back, your deposit, at least within a week. At the very most, within a month, and no more than that. If it's more than that, I find that it's very unfair for agents or landlords to be keeping money for that long. If they are going to be keeping it that long, they better give it back still with that interest that's been accruing.
Yeah, it's 17 minutes past 8. The conversation is with Dineo Molomo of Dineo Properties, and we have some callers on the line. Dineo, let's start with you, Max, in Pretoria. Good evening.
Hi, KB. How are you?
KG. I'm well, Max.
Okay,
how are you?
Sorry. I'm excellent. Just want to find out, is it legal that when you are renting, you pay the rent and taxes?
Did you hear that, Dino? Is it legal that when you're renting, you pay rates and taxes?
Look, it's not the norm. I won't say it's legal or not legal because I'm definitely not a lawyer. I will say it's not the norm simply because usually when you're signing a lease agreement, you will agree on terms of what you are prepared to pay for and what you're not prepared to pay. Now, if for whatever reason you did not read your contract well enough to see that the rates and taxes were included in there, and you signed it and you agreed, I mean, that's just an agreement between the two of you. We can't get into it, but it's not the norm. The norm is that the landlord will pay for the rates and taxes. You will pay for the lights and water only. And refuse, by the way. And refuse as well is usually included.
Lights, water, and refuse, because it is your refuse.
Yeah, it's your refuse that's being removed. Yes, that's correct.
Did you get that answer, Max? Did you get that answer?
I got it. I just want to ask another question. The admin fees, you know, when they do the admin fees, when you start the contract with these people, so is it right? You pay it every month?
No. It's also not the norm that you're paying administration fees on a monthly basis unless, again, you've agreed on it. If you were not familiar with that contract and it said all of those, you agreed first year, you would have run a little bit of a loss out of your pocket from paying rates and taxes that you agreed on without knowing. But when you re-sign that lease agreement the following year, please take good notice of the detail that's in that contract and make those changes, I would say.
Okay. Answered, Max?
Yes, yeah, I'm very much answered.
Okay.
I've got the last one. I'm sorry to
be cut.
Max, I give you a hand. You want my whole arm, eh?
All right. So, look in it. There's this system that has been used. I just want to find out. The client pays the rates and taxes for the agent, and then there's this quiz meters as well for water. They pay the taxes as well that side. So, meaning this doesn't pay double rates and taxes.
I don't quite understand that question.
Do you want to repeat that, Max?
Yes, I'm saying we've got the agent that we pay all the services. Then there's the one for the water, Quest meters. They also charge the same services.
So you pay double for one service?
Yes. Is that right?
Are you in a complex, Max?
Yes.
Okay. Usually in a complex, you'll find that there's a managing agent that manages the complex that's been recruited directly by the trustees, meaning the body corporate, including the homeowners of that complex. And there's usually a fee that they charge of a managing fee, but they will also tend to give off a statement on a month-on-month basis that indicates your water and your lights that you need to pay, and some other fees, such as the levies, etc., that will usually be for the account of the owner of the property if you are the tenant. But over and above that, you find that sometimes the rates and taxes are coming from a different, let's say they're coming from municipality. So there's two statements that come in. So if there's an estate agent that's managing also the property where you live, there's going to be a statement that goes to the owner of the property that requires for that landlord to be paying a managing fee for that agent to manage his property. So those are two different stories. And if perhaps that statement comes up with other fees, then you must inspect those fees and get to understand exactly what it is that's in there. I doubt very much that they tend to duplicate each other because they are for two separate services. I hope that makes it simple to understand.
Okay. I think that's where we're going to let it go. I hope you were answered, Max.
Buhle, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Max. Buhle, you're in Pretoria. Welcome.
Hi, hi, ladies. Thank you for a wonderful show. Three quick questions from me, KJ.
Yeah.
The first one, the issue about the interest, I just want to find out, is it a legal requirement from the side of the estate agent or is it discretionary? So basically what I'm asking, if it doesn't appear on the contract to say this deposit is going to be put in a trust and then you're going to earn interest, can you insist that they put it? That's my first question. The second question is that, let's say you're renting the property over a four-year period and each year you roll over.
Mm.
So the interest, the accrual, is it paid on an annual basis or should it be paid at the end of that four-year period? So let's say you renew again.
Mm.
So is it paid annually or is it at the end when you finally decide to move out? My last question, KG, would be the interest itself. Can you insist as well on how it was calculated or what it's due to you, just to be sure that you are given what is due to you? And if you can't get that information, do you go to the Ombuds? What's the process?
Okay.
I'm listening on the radio, KG.
Okay. Did you hear that, Dineo?
I did, yes, KG.
Okay, okay.
I'll start with the last one that she asked.
Yeah.
As far as the calculation is concerned, I think the very least that you can do, or the best you can do even, is to make sure that you're on the same page about the calculation of that interest with the agent. Maybe make examples in terms of how it's going to be calculated. If you're interested in that much detail, by all means, I'm sure you can ask that question in terms of how it's calculated, because it's a good question to ask. Because sometimes interest is calculated on a day-to-day basis or it's calculated monthly, and on what percentage even what calculations, type of calculations they'll be using. Yes, most definitely you can ask so that you are very clear by the time you come to the end of that lease. The other two, if it's not in the contract that you are going to be paid interest, I'm not too sure whether you can make much of a fuss over that, simply because it was not in agreement, it was not in writing. I've lost out a couple of times. There were instances some time ago where I was not aware that you can rent and your deposit can accrue interest. And it wasn't something I could ask for because it was not in the contract, and therefore I guess I did not qualify for it. I'm not too sure whether you can really make insist a great deal and say you definitely are insisting on getting that that interest at all. I hope I've answered the questions. Another one?
I hope so too. But there's another one on Twitter. It's a comment from Tsepo. Tsepo says, some landlord once chased me out, this is Tsepo now, after defaulting for 7 days. Kicked me out in the rain with a five-month-old. Meanwhile, I held a month's he held the month's deposit, and he never went back.
First of all, that was illegal. Nobody's allowed to be chased out, in the way that he's describing.
In the rain, shame. With a five-month-old.
With a child, yeah, no, that's very illegal.
Mm.
There are certain processes to be followed when you are going to evict somebody because they've defaulted on non-payment. It's in our constitution. Everybody has a right to have a roof over their heads. So if anybody asks, it starts there before anywhere else. So the next time anybody threatens you and says, I'm going to kick you out, you must say, yes, you will. You've got every right. It is your house. However, there's certain ways that things can be done. Mm. I'm not saying it must make tenants rebellious against the landlord, because the landlord, after all, has got the final right.
Mm-hmm.
But please just try and be as fair as possible in terms of making payments. And if you're failing to do so, you need to give reasons as to why, and be reasonable also in terms of how quickly can you able to release yourself from that lease agreement by moving out at the very least.
Yeah. You know, before we went to the callers and the Twitter comments, Dineo, we were talking about the deposit and the issues of the deposit being paid back. What happens if an agent delays or doesn't even pay back? Because it happens in some cases where agents don't even pay back the deposit.
KG, trust me, I know all about it. You know, there's a lady I'm helping at the moment at the SCBC who really has been battling with something of the sort from one of the very prominent estate agencies in South Africa.
Sure.
And unfortunately, what they did is they transferred from the agency, they transferred her deposit to the landlord, did not consult her, simply because the landlord cancelled the agreement of the agency and the agency stopped managing the property for the landlord.
Mm.
and she took the deposit into her account.
Mm.
Now she's having difficulty giving back that money. Who's to blame here? I'm blaming the agency, and I'm saying, first of all, the estate, or at least the tenant, trusted the agency to be a reputable agency, and therefore gave her money to them, knowing that it would be in a good place.
Mm.
Now, the landlord is a different story altogether, because first of all, she's not a business to be holding that amount of money.
Mm.
And here it is. She's moved out, and the money cannot come back. And yet she left the place, you know, in an excellent condition.
Mm.
It was confirmed, checked, and double checked, and everything was signed off to say you will get your money back.
Mm.
But she still hasn't gotten her money back. Now, who are we going to be fighting in this case? We're fighting definitely the estate agency. So watch the space. We'll share the details once we've gotten a conclusion, obviously with permission from all parties, to say here's an example that we can all learn from.
Yeah. What is the role, Dineo, of the Estate Affairs Board in such instances?
Good question, KG. They are the regulator, meaning they are the ones that hold responsible all actions and, you know, anything that happens with the estate agent in giving service to the normal individual like you and I that makes use of the services of an estate agent. So should anything go wrong, they look after our interests as well, but they also help us to keep estate agents in a straight line by regulating them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And how can people get in touch with your office at Dineo Properties?
Most definitely, I'm available. I usually give out my details for email. You can get a hold of me at askdineo@dineoproperties.co.za. Alternatively, you can also find me on the social media under Dineo Properties on Facebook as well as Twitter under Dineo Properties. Failing to do that, you can definitely send me an email if you want to on Gmail, which can take a lot more information, under dineoproperties@gmail.com. You can also send me an SMS on 084-783-4636.
Thank you for your insights and your time. We appreciate it, Dineo. Thank you so much.
As usual. Thank you so much. Speak to you next week.
Thank you. Ask Dineo at dineoproperties.co.za. We come back with the legal matters. It's 8:30 on Radio 2000, and you're listening to Talk on 2000. My name is Khumotso K. G. Mwekezi. We're back in a short while.